It's that time of year.
It's Halloween.
It's spooky.
I'm scared. Why the fuck did I agree to watch a scary movie?
Because this is like 1980s scary movies. That is cheesy. It's not It Part One freaky.
It's not going to be It Part One.
It's goofy. And it's Wednesday the 13th.
Wednesday the 13th. What better time to watch Friday the 13th? The original. Welcome back, guys. Pete here.
And Brian.
No Dave tonight, and we're hoping to get an appearance from Neil, but he has texted us and said to forge ahead.
He's probably hiding out somewhere in a bush, like staring us down like Mike Myers.
Why'd you do that?
Well, because I like to keep you on your toes.
But you know I fucking hate scary movies.
And this is barely a scary movie. This is more like a thriller slasher.
Falls under umbrella of scary movie.
So does Monster Squad.
Bullshit. That was not a scary
movie. That was listed in the horror section of the movie store.
It was not.
It was.
No.
Yeah.
No.
You mean to tell me, like, when the mummy, like, comes out of that closet, or, like, when the fangs come out and freak out the little girl? Oh, yeah, no. That movie was definitely a horror movie. And you did just fine.
Anyways, Brian and I are two dads navigating the films of our youth. And we're going to ask...
Sometimes with trepidation.
Yeah. Tonight's one of those nights for me. I am not really looking forward to this one.
You're going
to
be fine.
I'm just telling you. You know how I feel.
You've been through worse.
I have been through worse. That is...
So, I mean, have you ever seen Friday the 13th?
I'm pretty sure yes. I know I've seen part 2, part 3, part 4, part 6. And also...
Jason Goes to Hell.
Jason Goes to Manhattan with the Muppets?
Yeah, that's definitely canon.
I'm sure that was one of them.
I would happily watch that.
I would watch that in a heartbeat.
So you've seen, like, the scarier monster Jason. This is, like, the more cerebral, like,
which is
what's happening.
Yeah, but this is, like, the scarier thing because it could be, like, a real person type scary. Like, Silence of the Lambs type scary, which I thought was super creepy.
Well, I mean...
Oh, we should do that one.
Yeah. I don't find Silence of the Lambs creepy. I find that more, like, just interesting. Also,
dude, this
I've
is,
seen
that's,
a lot of naked guys
that's
with tucking.
Literally your job.
That's because a lot of guys die naked and usually kind of get a little tucked. Anyways, I got off track here.
We're going to answer three questions tonight of whether or not the original Friday the 13th, which I'm pretty sure it was 1981. I want to say it was 81.
I mean, it was very early. It was after Halloween. And
Halloween was 79.
So... The three questions as you look up when this is, does the movie hold up?
1980.
That's, like I said, booby traps. Does the movie hold up? Should be rebooted, which is a toughie because we have seen a bajillion sequels.
We've seen all the... But
and
have we
there's
ever,
been a reboot.
Have we seen a straight reboot of this story arc?
They did the... Well, no, they have not done a complete reboot where it was the mom, but they did a reboot of...
Jason number, becoming
of like Jason. They basically like, was number two. It was
right.
Basically two.
Okay, so I'm curious to see whether or not this story should be rebooted.
Well,
or not.
What makes it hard is that it's a very classic 80s slasher with the big twist, much like the Psycho, is it's the mother. Like, it's someone you didn't see coming.
Spoiler, thanks, dude.
Everybody knows that. It was even in Scream. It was a big joke in Scream. Have you seen Scream?
I have seen Scream.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure.
Scarier than this movie.
Yeah, I didn't like watching it.
They're making a new one of Scream.
I'm not going to go see it.
Okay.
Not.
You're going to go see it.
I am probably going to go see it.
Damn it. We have the movie pass. We're going
to
see it.
I know. We have to fit in our free movies.
If you never saw... I saw this, like, right when I was first starting to get into horror movies. Like, I remember watching Nightmare on Elm Street. Halloween.
Ooh, like, the first Nightmare on Elm Street.
I went through
that,
like,
one's scary.
That one was really good. That was very freaky. So this was right when I was starting to, like, get into the horror genre by watching the classics. Mm. And this one, I remember, like, watching, I was like, oh, but it wasn't as scary as, like, Nightmare on Elm Street. That one freaked me out as a kid.
Yeah.
That messed me up. And I watched it in my parents' basement.
Dumb.
With with those like all brickwork. It was an old Victorian house, so it had like all brick and like archways and
like,
pipes.
Just like the basement.
Oh, it was
boiler.
Literally, oh, and we had a boiler room. We had a boiler, like that's so that awesome. That was, I mean, looking back, perfect, but also messed me up. Oh, this movie.
It so explains a lot.
I remember, the one thing I'm thinking about this movie though is I'm remembering it being like really weak sauce with a storyline. Like I don't quite think it makes sense why like all these people were being killed. Like it's very tenuous. So maybe.
Do killers really need reasons?
Well, that was the thing. I felt like in the 80s they were just like, okay, so let's bring a bunch of teenagers and they're partying and drinking and fucking and then someone doesn't like it and they start getting murdered.
Well, so that trope goes back to Beowulf.
Yes, it does.
That is straight up King Hrothgar in his...
Hall.
They build their King Hall right next to or near the moors and the sounds
drive
upset
Grendel
crazy. And that's when Grendel comes and just like wrecks havoc and be like, ah, fuck your shit up, yo.
Yeah, but then you end up having like the hero who first got there after wrestling a sea serpent underwater. I mean, then it kind of takes a bit of a turn.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Beowulf is no final girl.
I'm just saying that trope's been around for 1500 years.
Oh, yeah. Like, it's used as a way to talk about morality. It's a morality where, like, you know, if you drink, if you don't follow the rules,
if you are promiscuous,
if you have premarital sex, you are a sinner, and this is the punishment you get. So that's why the final girl is usually the pure, innocent, you know, smart girl who follows the rules. It's, you know, that sort of thing. It's the patriarchy, really, trying to establish itself to control women.
And then we're going to ask ourselves whether or not our kids are going to watch this movie.
Right. Which, again, can be tough because this is an old horror movie. Like, I think a cell phone would have fixed a lot of problems.
Yeah, but I'd be interested to see... You know, when kids get a little bit older into their teenage years and they start learning about, like, I know I took, like, movie history classes and things like that, film classes. Would movies like this, studying the horror genre, would this be part of that person's education?
Well, I feel like you have to, like, it's almost like going back and watching the black and white horror movies,
yeah, exactly.
Which I really enjoy. Like, you have to, you hit a point where, like, you need to understand.
Where do these things come from? Yeah, what are the roots? Exactly. Okay, so that being said, let's not belabor the point, and let's go get some ice cream.
Yep.
Let's get some scotchy scotch.
And hopefully we'll pick up a Neil.
I'm going to find one, and...
let's ki-ki-ki ma-ma this shit.
Oh, ki-ki-ki ma-ma.
Yeah, a lot of people make the mistake that it's like he-he-he.
Or nope. kill.
Yeah.
I've heard that too.
Or nope, it's ki-ki-ki ma-ma.
Doesn't make any sense.
Not even a little. No one's able to explain it to me.
All right. Well, on that note, guys, let's go watch Friday the 13th with Jason Voorhees. Do 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 do. Bum 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 bum. No.
And it's his mom. We don't get to see Jason. That.
Okay. Spoiler.
Jason's mom.
We're back like a cook at Camp Crystal Lake.
Yeah.
Wow. Whoa.
See? Were you a scared?
No.
See? It was not bad.
Yes, it was.
Not bad.
It was not terrible.
Okay. That's a good start.
Welcome back, movie fans. I have questions, guys.
You're not going to find the answers.
I've got so many questions. We picked up a hitchhiker along the way.
So excited to work with kids.
Hey, Neil, you made it.
I did. Just barely.
Oh, man. You didn't miss much in the first 22 minutes of the film.
Just a lot of exposition dumping.
Yes, so... before we get into this, we should try and do a two-sentence synopsi. Synopses? Synopsis? Synopsises?
Mm. I don't even think I need two.
Okay, well, if you only have one, you can go first.
I have one.
Okay, go ahead.
A crazy, deranged mom brutally murders a bunch of teenagers at a summer camp. That's it.
That
is literally the whole movie.
All right. Here's my version. It's like Psycho if the mom lived and the son died.
Ooh, that's good. It's exactly like that.
Have you ever met a entitled Karen soccer mom whose kid wasn't watched properly by the lifeguards? Find out what happens next week.
This is the ultimate Karen, isn't it?
She's the ultimate Karen.
It's a feral Karen.
Well, to be fair, she did lose her son.
I know, but like...
But was it her fault?
Well...
I don't know, because she was the cook. She was in the kitchen. It was the two counselors who were making love.
Oh. I love how she said making love.
A true Karen would never be in the kitchen cooking, would she?
No, probably
so, not. One of the things, too, is that you don't even know if that's true. They talk about a kid drowning, but for all I know, the kid just drowned, and she assumed it was because the counselors were dicking around.
I don't know. Maybe she had that psychotic break, and then, like, Jason started living in her head.
It was their fault, Mommy.
That must be the worst. You have a psychotic break, and then your child starts living in your head.
Like your dead child?
My God, I have a hard enough time having conversations with my kids now.
It's like two curses at the same time.
Kill them, Mom. Kill them. Can I have a sandwich?
That was kind of creepy.
Kill them, Mom. I will, Jason. Make me a sandwich.
Yeah.
Make it yourself. Fuck you, Mom. I'm dead. I'm living in your head.
But he was there the whole time. Maybe he was driving.
Well, that's the big...
Okay, so that was like the big reveal at the end.
Yeah,
and that was a big thing that people talk about, was that Jason was real, that there was a...
And he hadn't aged, which was 24 years.
Right, he decomposed, but he didn't age.
23 years into the future.
The second one shows that Jason never died. He was just living like a
feral
hobo man-child out in the woods.
Mm-hmm. And he didn't come back when his mom was searching for him?
So he didn't know. Like, the whole theory... Like, the thing is, they never explain this. But what the theory is that Jason
was
didn't
this theory
die.
On Reddit?
Well, it's a way... People have tried to piece all the movies together. Because they do... After number two, they do kind of stitch together. But everyone's like, well, wait. How is it we go from Jason, kid, mom... But the second one has it that he's an adult. He's some sort of... giant mutant, almost like Sloth from Goonies.
Right.
And he keeps his mom's severed head because he's got to
see that crossover.
Sloth versus Jason.
Sloth versus Jason.
So that's all.
I'd pay good money for that.
But this movie got weird at the end. Like, they just sort of shoehorned in Jason.
To be fair, I think the end was the best part of the movie. The actual, like, reveal of, The mom.
Jason's mom.
Jason's mom. What was her first name?
Pamela.
Pamela Voorhees? No.
Pam Voorhees?
Pam?
Betsy?
Betty? Betty?
Corvin.
Betty Voorhees.
Corwin?
Calvin Leggings? Is he back?
Herbie Hancock.
Oh, man. This is... Yeah.
There was a time I used to know who it was.
It just says Mrs. Voorhees.
No, she introduced herself. Yeah. Like, she had a name.
She has a name.
She has a name.
It was hard for me to watch this not knowing where the series went. Like, Jason in New York and, like, all the crazy
I've never seen... It like, went, I've only seen...
He
I've
went to hell. He fought Freddy. He went into space.
The most absurd extremes you can imagine.
The worst being in space. That was terrible.
And this actually kind of, like... They kind of made it like a documentary in a lot of ways. Like, it was very realistic... Like, very minimal soundtrack, very minimal, like, no really flashy camera stuff.
They couldn't.
They didn't have any money.
They had no money. They filmed this on $500,000.
And it was like one of those 1950s horror movies where they couldn't afford a monster, so they just let you imagine it. Like, they never showed the monster.
So, I will say that, like, the ability to dial up the tension in this movie...
Oh, yeah.
...did work. That one bit at the end where she locked herself in the pantry, stupid, first of all, and then the light turns on and you can see the light shining through the
slats.
The slats.
It was a very cool shot.
That was a very cool shot.
By that same note, do you think that they built the movie backwards? Like, they're like, okay, imagine like there's a killer in a camp and like she's hiding in the pantry and we can see the killer and the doorknob starts slowly turning.
Reverse engineer.
And they're like, well, where do we go from there? Well, that's the end of the movie, man. I don't know. You come up with the rest.
I think you're right. I think you're definitely right. They filled in a lot of time with Monopoly and
like shots of the lake.
Really bad
suits and
porn dialogue.
Yeah.
Hey, let's play Strip Monopoly.
Yeah.
Worst strip game.
Who hasn't, right?
And they didn't even say like, well, how about we play strip poker? Well, who's got a deck of cards? I don't know.
How about strip Monopoly? How about we just strip?
Well, then where's the fun in that?
I can find some fun in that.
You gotta build up to it, you know? You gotta increase the mood.
These were simpler times, guys.
I'm just saying, strip Monopoly literally takes like 5 days.
Yeah.
Just like any Monopoly game, you make sure that you buy like the green properties, get all the railroads, and before you know it, man, you're done.
No, I understand that, but they never, like any Monopoly game I've ever played took like 5 to 6 hours.
Well, that is true. They're like, she didn't even finish. They were like, oh, yeah, left the window open.
Exactly.
Yeah, come with quick and like what? Like trouble?
What conversation did I say I wanted to have during the podcast that you and I had during the movie, and I completely...
Where do babies come from?
Please tell me. I want to know. Actually,
according to this movie...
My daughter asked me that the other day.
Oh, no.
I know. I totally sidestepped that question.
Where do babies come from? That is a very good question. It also is a good question. Why do birds go tweet? Have you noticed outside the birds are super loud lately? Let's go investigate.
Some chocolate.
But anyways, back to the point. What was the conversation we were...
Well, the thing, like, what I was just thinking of is, like, this movie has clearly inspired a lot of really famous movies.
Yes.
And sequels.
Yeah, we're talking about the Sam Raimi movies, which we all like.
Well, we had a creepy cabin in the woods. Yeah. Sleepaway Camp was, like, rip-off of this movie.
Yeah, it's inspired comedies, like White Hot American Summer. It's inspired real horror movies.
Scream. It definitely is inspired Scream.
Yeah.
Yeah, with, like, hiding bodies.
I think so.
And of course, we get the like one of the original Final Girls.
The original. Okay, we won't do any commentary on hairstyles of the early 80s.
Oof.
Poor Brian.
Well, the main girl, Anne, had a haircut that was...
Was it Alice?
Very helmet.
Very helmet, yes.
Very helmet.
Knobby.
It had Kevin Bacon.
It did have Kevin Bacon.
Yeah. What a great death. Stabbed through the neck from underneath.
I think all the deaths were pretty good.
That was Tom Savini. He's a wizard when it comes to
that. Master.
I once watched a special with him where he talked about how like when you make exploding blood, like you fill a condom up with fake blood and a little squib, and that's how you get. But he's like, my signature is I put in way too much blood.
Yeah, as you should.
And they played the movie straight, but like the death scenes are played straight too, and they kind of were creepier for that.
So, question one, gentlemen.
Yeah.
Does this movie hold up? Neil. I'm sorry, you're eating your ice cream.
Well, I think it does. Tough. I'm going to say yes.
Really?
I'm going to say it holds up. Yeah, because I think the campy... Well, there can't be now. I don't know how much of this was supposed to be sort of ironic and campy and weird.
Well, it was panned when it came out.
I don't think they were trying to be campy. I think they were trying to be legit, but...
How in the hell?
It holds up as campy.
It's out of camp.
It's out of camp. Is this where we got the term campy? It's campy, you know, like Camp Crystal Lake.
Oh, God.
No, it was hard for me to watch it unironically. But I do think it kind of holds up, and it kind of got better as it went.
That's what it was. Did people actually go see this, like, unironically at, like, midnight shows or, like, regular movies?
Yeah, I don't think they waited outside for, like, midnight showings.
But it did get panned when it came out. How?
And well, that's the other thing. Is it like, partly we appreciate it because we know how much influence it had on, like, so many movies we like? I don't know.
Well, or it's... You know, I can appreciate it for where horror has gone to from this, because this was considered super scary in its time.
Was it, though? Like, that's a good question. Were people like, oh, man, this movie is the scariest movie? Or was it just like a...
Oh, I remember
kids talking. It wasn't scary, but it was very tense, really, if you were kind of immersed in it.
There were a few moments in there, especially like
he starts barricading the door in the wrong side.
there was definitely, I had a few moments where I had some goosebumps, kind of.
Well, we can relate to the rural, like, log cabin stuff in this.
Yeah.
I mean,
we live in Maine.
Yeah.
I think
I ride a moose to work.
A lot of potential.
Yeah. Who doesn't?
But the problem is that they never let anything grow. Like, we would see a character off on their own.
They only had 95 minutes.
Well, and that's why. Like, so the problem is that I think they had a really, really great concept. I think the story is very tight about a camp with a dark history. They're trying to reopen it, and the murders are happening again. But not that anyone knows. This all happens on one day, Friday the 13th. Finally understand why it's called that.
It was his birthday.
And yeah. It's the day that they decided to start murdering everybody again. But I think the hard part is that, like, we never had a chance to, like, get the tension long enough. Like, they would be like, okay, well, I better go fix the generator. Oh, generator's weird. Dead.
That's true.
Oh, man, I had good sexy time. All right, I'm going to light up a joint and dead.
Yeah.
I'm in the bathroom and dead.
There were very tense scenes, but we kind of didn't care about anyone. You sort of wanted them to die at the same time.
They kind of did.
We only knew them for, like, we really got to watch this movie in real time. The whole movie takes place in a real literal 90 minutes.
Yeah.
How is it that a entire room of counselors trying to find a snake under a bed, not euphemism here,
a little snake,
and they chop the snake, and it, like, turns into a pillow fight. On, like, they
wreck the place,
derp their way through. Like, the fuck's going on? Well, anyway,
it was kind of cool though. It was like the MacGuffin where they're like, oh, everything's fine. It's a teeny little black snake. Well, let's just get
it. It did also get, well, what it, we did get to see. I think they tried to build character by, like, showing them all interacting, showing them, like, working together, like, getting the dock in place, goofing around, horsing around, talking. Like, so I feel like they did, like, as much as they could to build character. It's just
the dialogue. The script was very thin. The script in and of itself, it was A to B. Okay, that's a cursed camp. Okay, the camp's trying to reopen. Oh, we can see why it's cursed because everyone's dying. We have a survivor at the end. And boom, 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 right. Boom. Right.
But it happens so fast.
But we don't know. We just get the exposition dump and the flashback sequence in the beginning of the two counselors getting killed for having sexy time. And we don't know why they got killed.
Well,
like, we only come to find out through Mrs. Voorhees later in, is it Pamela? Karen. Later.
Right.
Where she totally does her, you know, Dr. Evil, like, my elaborate plan of, like,
The Shining where she breaks through the door thing. Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Which, except the thing is that it does work. Like, the whole point is that we get a little bit of information from the townies, but then she doesn't have no idea why, no one knows, and part of the scary part is, like, what's going on?
You're doomed.
They brought the guy in twice. He just showed up in their pantry, and they're like, Crazy Ralph.
Oh, yeah. Crazy Ralph.
So, whoa, crazy doing the pantry.
So do you think it holds up?
Well, so I'm really torn because it's not scary, and it's very campy, and there are a lot of holes. But as Neil was saying, like, there are a lot, like, the story is pretty solid. It's just I feel like it was a great idea, and they just didn't have the budget, and they did the best that they could. It's like The Crow. I think The Crow would have been an amazing movie if Brandon Lee hadn't died and they had to just cobble it together based on what they had.
Yeah. You know,
they couldn't do reshoots. They had to just, and I feel like this was the same way. Great idea. Didn't have the money. This is what we came up with. And it spawned a massive series of movies. So okay. I respect that, but I just,
that being said, though, I have to take a page from Dave's book here. Would I want to watch this movie again?
I think I would.
Uh-uh.
I don't think I'd watch it tomorrow, but
I don't think I'm going to watch this movie again. It was, I can appreciate where it was, and I'm going to leave it there.
Leave it behind?
It doesn't match up. And I think this is the segue into question two is,
well,
it's a perfect segue, not for the fact that we already have 6,026 sequels, TV shows, merchandising, Friday
video games,
video games,
board games,
action books,
figures,
sex
toys,
flamethrowers.
It's a weird mess.
You know, But I don't think they've done a straight reboot of this, and I think it actually has a great framework for a true reboot.
Well, the hard part, though,
you have a better budget. You can actually get decent script writers. You could get you can actually get some development in the story of the psychosis of Voorhees. When she goes fucking crazy, you can still, and the filmmaking has gotten better since 1980. You can still turn up that tension.
So the problem is, though, and this is the crux of it, is that, and the reason that they rebooted, remade with everything with Jason is because Jason is an established monster, much like Freddy. But with this, the whole twist was it's crazy mom. So if you completely reboot it, they're gonna be like, well, it's his mom.
But she is a monster. And the worst monsters are the real ones. And I think that kind of plays in today's world that we live in.
But we already, but the thing is, if you just
think about Freddy, the lore podcast.
I understand, like this trope, but the whole point is that what removes it is the big reveal at the end of it being the mom was supposed to be a whoa. But if you reboot Friday the 13th and you'd be like, Friday the 13th, and everyone's gonna be like, oh, so it's his mom. We're just gonna watch until it's his mom. So it's either going to people are going to say
that's fair. I'm just saying like,
but it, listen, I have an idea though. I have an idea.
Okay.
Check this out. You go meta and you create a camp, and it's the same thing. It's where a group like investors are going to start up a new summer camp from this old summer camp, and they're just like, well, why was it banned? It's like, well, do you remember all those movies that came out in the 80s about like, you know, crazy camp that was cursed and all these people dying from crazy killers?
This is the real one.
Well, this camp. This was based off it. There was an accident where a couple counselors died, or like a kid drowned, something like that. And that's where they got the idea from. There was a lot of bad publicity, but people have forgotten about it because the movie overshadowed it, and no one is going to even remember or dig it up. And we could even, you know, make that as part of the lore. We can make this look nice. And they start rebuilding the camp. And that's when things start happening. Like there's a curse, like, you know, accidents seem to happen, something's going on. And they start saying, like, well, you know that kid who died? Like, it's his spirit. Like, he's angry because he's been forgotten. And actually
have it as a spirit type?
Well, and keep it, you never know. Is it a conjuring? Is it really, like, a malevolent creature? Or is it just someone who is, you know, is it the mom? You don't know until the end, and that's where...
And at the end, it's actually just corporate making all this weird shit to sell more.
No, I'm just kidding. Well, that would be great if corporate was like, this is this, and then what you really get. And
corporate's actually killing people to actually make money off of it.
Like, the whole time, like, someone is like, well, wait a second, like, the accident's happening. No, this is going to be better. Like, this is going to, like, sell us even more. As long as we keep the deaths.
Robocop and OCP?
In a little bit. I don't know, but, like, that's the problem, is you need to keep the audience, like, either.
Yeah, I get it.
You got to keep them.
I really like where you're going, because what struck me in rewatching it this time is that really, like, Jason and the mom are not the monsters. It's a set piece movie. It's the camp that's the monster.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, that.
There are some really classic, like,
is this the first time we've all more or less been, like, straight up in it? Like, we're kind of evolving into the same place on the question, too? This might be one of the first.
Well,
hooray. I mean, who does William Shatner play?
The mom.
The mom.
Shatner in space.
Shatter in space.
I don't think the thing too is that because there already have been so many, like, they even rebooted Friday the 13th 2, really. So we've had remakes. We've had Jason up the wazoo. But I like the idea of going back to the idea of, you know, a cursed summer camp. Like counselors.
Yeah, 100%, yeah.
But also, can we also mention just the fact when it comes to rebooting a camp, like, what a shit show that guy was. It was one guy trying to rehabilitate an entire camp.
He spent $25,000 in 1980 money.
And he only had like
aunt. $26
million. $100 billion.
$100 billion.
You can't even tell. She had no idea how to wield a hammer.
Oh my God. But she was, oh my God.
Oh, you're creepy.
Very talented and pretty.
Yeah.
That was so pretty. But so you can lean into that too, like, oh, where you're like, man, you know, creepy counselor who's just hitting on everybody.
Like, I think it's creepy corporate. Like, you got, I have a gut feeling like you take it somewhere like some Slick Ricks from New York City, and like they're kind of just a little.
Wait, think about this.
American Psycho.
But go where, like, it's it. Here's the kick, right? It was a cursed camp. But we're gonna clean up, and know what? we're going to bring in teenagers from the inner city, like all of these, like, you know, down on their luck kids, and we're going to bring them out to the country where they're going to learn to be counselors, rehabilitate this camp just like it's going to rehabilitate them, and then we're going to bring it, and it's going to be a big movement. But in reality, they're actually going to kill those kids and allow them to die and be murdered, because no one's going to really care if a bunch of inner city kids get murdered, but this will really boost up, you know, the story and reinvigorate the franchise.
And sell, and it's all about profits and market more, share.
Right, and it's some like crazy.
And then this kind of plays into the whole thing of like the real people are the real monsters.
Oh, man.
Huh, all right.
All right, Hollywood. All we need now is like, you know, 50 kilograms of cocaine.
Well, they definitely had the porn dialogue in this one. That was...
There wasn't.
Jack, is
and the wardrobes. I am down with the wardrobes.
I think the wardrobe was just whatever the actors brought with them. They need to
bring back early 80s underwear for women. I am down with that.
Yeah. And by that, you mean no bras for anyone.
Anyone.
No.
Man, it was true. It does seem like they had every... Like, they had the bell bottoms. They had the flannel.
They were horny teenagers.
Well, aren't they all?
Yeah.
Well, I mean,
that's redundant. That's a redundant statement.
That was something else too. The one adult, and I use air quotes for adult, like leaves, like, no, you kids keep working on the camp. I'm gonna go into town, run some errands, and just
then it leaves for like till the middle of the night.
It's been like 8 hours. She just left a bunch of teens unsupervised. They just start like they literally pulled up to work.
And one of them's Kevin Bacon. All the girls are just gonna be like,
sploosh.
Footloose, sploosh.
What would you do if you were in charge of babysitting like four horny teenagers, though? You'd leave too.
Oh, God. Probably. I'd just be constantly spraying them with cold water.
Just
knock it
off.
The
spray bottle. Stop it. Stop it. Stop eating them with chips.
Go back to painting.
So, what are we going to do next week?
Good question.
Oh, we already said that. Well, should we show this movie to the kids? Like, we're skipping.
Oh, yeah, we skipped.
We skipped to the kids.
I'm not.
I'm not going to say if I'm going to show it to my kids, but I think that's...
I'll show it to someone else's kids.
The whole point of this movie is that you watch it and then you go to camp yourself and then you're scared there. It's kind of like daring your friends to say Candyman five times.
Well, I would say that this movie will probably... Could show up in like a film class in high school or college of where slasher films, horror films have evolved from. This would be up there with Night of the Living Dead... And then I'd put this one in there. I'd put Halloween. I'd put the original Nightmare on Elm Street.
Well, here comes the question, though. Like, what would make
Life
sense?
Life Force. Just kidding.
What movie would juxtapose to this movie? So if this was, like, the first camp, you know, girl being chased, like, you know, surprise
Halloween
bodies.
Halloween came out 2 years before.
Right, Halloween was... But that was a neighborhood creepy stalker.
When did Carrie come out?
Mid-70s.
Yeah. This is basic.
And then also Amityville Horror.
But what I mean is, what modern movie would you tie to this to show the juxtaposition?
Scream.
Now, see, Scream's tough because
that's... I Know What You Did Last Summer.
I hated that
movie. I know, but I'm just saying, like, this is where...
But that's what I mean. Like, I would see that as a cool film thing, is to show, like, this is the basis, and then have a, like, what modern movie you can see the direct ties. But that would be fun.
Okay.
I like that idea. That's fair. I just don't know what movie it would be.
Would you show your kids this movie?
I mean, I don't think they would be scared by it. They would be scared.
Okay. Hey, Paul.
Speaking of crazy guy on a bike.
Neil.
I haven't met before.
Paul, nice to meet you, though. Yeah. Paul, say hi to the podcast. You're live.
Hi, podcast.
All right. It's my father-in-law.
Surprise guest.
Did we wake you up?
Yeah.
Okay. Do you have anything? Did you ever see Friday the 13th?
No, I never saw it.
Okay.
No. You said you were going to do a...
slasher film tonight.
Yeah. Very topical.
We were trying to figure out whether or not we'd make our kids watch the movie. What's our consensus? Yes, no? Indifference?
If they wanted to. I wouldn't say no, but I'm not going to be like, you need to watch Friday the 13th.
I'd let them bring it up first.
Okay.
You know, start modern horror and then work our way back.
I'm going to have a cup of tea.
Okay.
All right.
We'll be done in about 5 minutes.
Yeah, we got to figure out what movie we're going to...
It's staying in the pod.
This is what the listeners want. Surprise guests. Well, I feel like we should keep going with the horror theme.
All right. Little Shop of Horrors?
Ooh.
You could do that, or I think this segues nice into Scream, though. Like,
it does. The movie, but I just don't like getting scared.
Scream is not scary either.
Says you,
it's a mystery movie more than a scary.
It's like Scooby Doo, but with murder. In fact, it has Matthew Lillard, who played Shaggy in the Scooby Doo movies.
Drew Barrymore's in it, right?
She is
in the very beginning. What's your favorite scary movie?
When she's like, with the phone.
Yes.
Okay, I did see the movie.
Hello, Sydney.
Yes.
That's good. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Well, I could do Scream.
I think that's the direction.
I could also do a little Shop of Horrors, though.
I think Scream is a more direct connection to this movie.
Okay. Well, that would be that, because you're right. You said, though, that this ties back. I think that it could place.
I hate when I'm right. Damn it.
And that was Wes Craven?
Yeah, it was.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Whoa.
Okay, but at some point I want to do Dreamscape.
Okay.
I made you watch that preview earlier tonight.
Yeah, that had people in it.
Dennis Quaid.
Yeah, and the guy from Warriors.
And Max von Sydow.
The Alec Baldwin of Quaid Brothers.
That's true.
So true.
Oh, boy. If there ever were two actors who were complete opposites, it's like the movie Twins.
But they're actually related.
Dennis Quaid and then Randy Quaid.
Yeah, but they're actually related to each other.
I know. How does that even happen?
It's like Ron Howard and Clint.
How do you grow up with, like, your brother being, you know, Dennis Quaid, crazy, and you're Randy Quaid?
Oh, my God. All right, guys. On that note, any parting shots?
I mean, again, mention Tom Savini. Like, what cool deaths. Like, that was some really cool, like, effects and makeup work to make those. That was some...
I was pleasantly surprised that...
Did you have a favorite death, speaking of which? I like Kevin Bacon.
The hatchet to the head was pretty good.
That was sweet.
Oh, guys, the final death with the head getting cut off and her hands like still like, where's my head?
As she West Coast!
Throwing gang signs.
The Terminator into the lava.
Yeah. Be good.
Yeah. They were all honestly good. Yeah.
One of the things I'd like to point out is, so Pete, you made a good point, and we will be fair, that the final girl is terrorized and is freaking out and is not thinking clearly. She's all instinct and it's all wrong. But she goes to grab a gun, right? Can't find bullets for it. Points the gun at Mama Voorhees and then, like, tosses the gun at her and keeps going backwards to grab a ball of twine and, like, a shuttlecock or something. Like, bypassing all these bludgeoning weapons.
All of, like, there's a whole rack of other guns right there.
You could grab a gun, flip that around, and just... Louisville Slugger.
And then speaking of, she had a Louisville Slugger. Where did that go?
Oh, and what happened to her, like, barbecue prongs, too? She had, like, you know, barbecue prongs and a bat held in the middle because she doesn't know how to bat.
And I will say, like, that final swing, like, one swing and the head just kind of goes, pop, off with her head.
Ooh, I'm not going to lie. Like, take a moment. You guys worked with machetes before?
Yeah.
I don't know if you could decapitate somebody with a machete.
Well, now, I have... used machete.
Well, now.
Machete.
I have some experience in this exact topic. When I'm working with Japanese knotweed, and those stalks are pretty thick, I can actually slice through a swath, kind of like a scythe of them, and fills all the way across.
But Japanese knotweed is not the spinal cord of a
human. No, but I'm just saying, like, in the entire motion, you actually have to, as you're slicing through all of these things, it does take continued force. I'm saying if it was just one thing, one force, I'd probably be able to get through it.
Have you ever... All right, well...
Challenge accepted, Ryan.
I want to see this
challenge accepted.
I've watched Forge and Fire as they chop through things, and not that much of a challenge to a solid machete. But I don't think you can chop through, can you chop through, like, a, you know, 2-inch thick branch with a machete?
Oh, yeah.
Could you chop through a 4-inch? Like, how big, like, I just don't think...
4-inch is pretty, that's substantial.
Okay, well, how, like...
Like,
how,
the spinal column itself is only about that.
That's vertebrae. Like, you're going through muscles, like meat, and then you're going
through... Knotweed.
Knotweed is not that
So write into Dad's movie night. Let us know what you want to see Pete chop.
What?
watermelons, frozen Pepsi bottles.
I would do a frozen Pepsi. I think we should definitely try this out because I've got a machete in the garage.
But essentially, if it was like a heavy duty
and a hand sharp,
I don't think the machete is sharp enough to go through and sever a head.
What would be a suitable proxy for you?
I think what I would accept is the traditional
watermelon?
Would be a dowel of wood wrapped in soaked tatami mats. And I think I know a guy who's got those.
Okay.
All right. I'm going to look it up, but we might have to do this as a challenge before Halloween. Okay. I think we should do it.
We should do it in the field.
We can do it in the field.
Okay.
All right. So it's on.
Guys, send us an email at dadsmovienight@gmail.com. Check us out on the iTunes and the Google Play. Let us know what you think and whether or not I am going to be able to cut through a dowel and tell me
that. Go on Facebook, guys, and let us know. Like, can you chop through...
The video will be on Facebook.
A neck.
Oh, definitely. 100%.
Like a human neck.
100%. I'm going to start practicing.
One machete chop.
One chop.
No, you can't start practicing. All you can do is play Strip Monopoly and smoke some weed first. That's it.
I mean, challenge exactly. You're going to give Popeye his spinach? I know. What the hell,
it's
Neil?
It's Pete's superpower, I know.
All right. Way to sandbag me.
You've been waiting your whole life for this, Pete.
He's been training. All that knotweed, all that weed.
Rise to the moment.
All those nights of Strip Monopoly by yourself, they're finally paying off.
I am world champion Strip Monopoly player. Never took off any clothes.
He's just going to be sitting there listening to Eminem. The moment.
All right, guys, that's it.
We did it again.
Sandwich, Mom.